On today's episode of Outer Experience, we welcome on my older brother, Tim Brazier, and we go through an epic battle royale. If you like what you hear, please subscribe. Give us a positive review on iTunes. 5 stars would be great. And if you have any ideas for episodes, or if you'd like to just write in, let us know your thoughts. Our email is outerexperiencepodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening. Hello and welcome to the third installment of Outer Experience. Because if you're in the experience, Tim,
you got to get out of it.
Yeah. That catchphrase is catching on. Probably not the best amazing catchphrase, but it's ours and we own it. So we are here today and we are joined by a very special guest, my oldest brother and wisest and handsomest, Tim Brazier.
Woo! Right on. I am your handsomest brother.
Yeah. Even handsomer than my twin brother.
I'm excited to be here. This is a dream that has been at least a month in the making. So,
one of our first listeners, one of our most vocal listeners. Definitely,
that's right.
Definitely tough to please. Tim, tell the audience a little bit about yourself. You know, tell us some of your secrets. Let's get to know you.
No, I'm perfectly willing to give you away all of my secrets. My name's Tim. I live in St. Louis, Missouri, which is an amazing place. I am a design manager, something or other. I do package design for Save-A-Lot food stores, which is fun.
Nice.
And
have you designed any good packages lately?
No.
Oh.
No, yeah, we've been designing like tons of great packages. It's great. We got this new agency that we brought on board, and we're busy, busy, busy.
Cool.
And I got 5 beautiful kids.
Oh man! Shout out to the 5 beautiful ones.
Yeah, I like them, and I'm married too. I have a wife.
Nice.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
How many years have you been married?
That's a hard question.
define years.
It's either 15 or 16. Oh, 16.
Okay,
I remember because my marriage, if my marriage was a person, it would be able to drive right now. So that's kind of exciting.
That depends on the state.
Yeah, it does depend on the state.
Hawaii, you can't drive until you're 24.
Idaho, seriously? You would have been driving at 14.
No, I'm just kidding. It's not true.
Colton's a liar.
Anyway. Well, that sounded true. I believe that.
I know. You say anything with confidence and it's true, which is a great segue. Tim approached us with a great episode idea, and that's why we have him on for this installment here. We are going to be doing a
battle royale.
Thanks for the sound effects.
You need, yeah.
Yeah,
you
I needed something. It was pretty dry with just my voice. I mean, I have a good voice, but it's not, you know. Anyway, we are going to be going through some of our favorite fighters and some of our strongest characters that we've seen, whether it's TV, movies, or real life. Do you have some real life guys, Tim?
I think all of my guys are real life.
Oh, well, I'm going to beat you.
Well, yeah.
My first one is my dad.
The rules were loosely defined.
He's not going to win. I know, Dad.
My dad's not on here, but I think he would have been good.
He would have been a good one. My dad could beat up your dad.
He could clean your... Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Your dad is slightly stronger.
So again, as I mentioned...
Matched, though, I think, actually.
Yeah, I think they would cancel each other out. So, as mentioned before, Tim did approach me with this idea. And so, Tim, what was your thought in wanting to do an episode with this theme?
So many thoughts. Well, this is something that I used to do a lot with my my younger brother, your older brother, Noah.
Because,
you know, like I grew up in the golden age of heroes with He-Man on TV and G.I. Joe and all that kind of stuff. And I think one of the things we like to do is just kind of like cross the genres a little bit, cross the streams, if you will, and to say, okay, hey, who could beat up He-Man, you know? You don't think you will? I wouldn't. So you know, it was always kind of like this constant like contest and all that kind of stuff. And you always kind of wonder, you know, like if you took somebody out of Star Wars and put them up against somebody in, I'm trying to like not say something that would give away what I have on my list.
Now I know who you have.
Pokemon.
I'm just going to say Chuck Norris because, you know, I think they, you know, he's so kind of the obvious one to go
for.
Well,
I'm glad you brought
him
up.
But you always just wonder,
because
you know, like,
I feel like he's going to be a tough one for anybody to beat. Is that like just everyone's wild card? I assume you picked him too, but he's on my list.
No, he's actually not on my list. I thought that was too easy.
Should I remove him from mine?
This is something that I have put so much thought into, weeks and weeks of study, careful analysis, weighing things.
Lots of Googling.
All sorts of stuff. Well, yeah, you know, like.
Well, preparation. I understand. I mean, that sounds.
Oh, I haven't eaten for days. I've been thinking about this so hard. So I'm super hungry for this fight, and I'm just super hungry in general.
Wow.
Which is nice.
That is quite the mission statement. Well, I don't think we made this clear, but Tim and I will be facing off in this battle royale. And Cassie will be our mediator. And so basically what we're going to do is we're going to name the character that we'd have in this battle, give some reasons as to why we think they would be victorious in a fight. And then Cassie is going to, you know, take the information that she gets and say, all right, you know what? Tim convinced me. He gets a point. Or, you know what? I married Colton, so he gets a point. So
no, I promise to not be biased.
Yeah, this is slightly biased, I think.
It was going to be Thomas, but Thomas is on the road, so he can't.
The other brother.
It would have been my twin brother, but I feel like that would have been a little bit more fair because, you know, he's your younger brother. He's always looked up to you, and he and I, you know.
I've usually been taller than him. I think he's taller than me now, though.
Ha, that's too bad.
I started out a lot taller.
Oh, yeah, you did. Yeah, you had a good 3 feet on this. All right.
Yeah.
So, are we ready? Is there anything else that we want to go into? Tim?
No, okay. Tim? Well, I'm telling you, I'm chomping at the bit to get this thing going. This is like the ultimate top 10 because it's like two top 10s, except they're just top 7s. And they're coming
together
and they're fighting each other for dominance.
Oh, it's going to be good. I can't wait to hear some of the ones you get. So, all right. So how we're going to start off round one. We'll do a rock, paper, scissors to see who goes first.
Okay.
Winner goes second.
Wait, can you see me?
Can you see my hand?
No.
I can't see your hand.
You can't? Well, it's because it's not up. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Ready?
Cassie, would you call it?
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Yeah, well, this is a rubbish. For those of you that are listening, we are currently Skyping Tim since he is in St. Louis.
It lags, and I'm just showing mine.
And it's a real struggle, apparently, to do rock, paper, scissors on
Here,
Skype.
Try it one more time. It seems like it's smoother right now.
You guys,
you did rock, but that's just because
ready,
my scissors
were. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Two seconds.
It's not that far behind. He's doing that on purpose.
Okay, let's try this again.
No,
it's not even stalling. He's just
all right. I'm thinking of a number.
Who
That's
does
what
that?
We're gonna do. We're gonna
All
do
he did
number.
Was he had it in
no,
a rock,
really
and then he put
it.
His two fingers. Up
you guys,
right after. He didn't even do the bouncing with the motion. You're supposed to do that.
I did. I was. Just...
No, you did.
All right.
Sorry. Yeah, oh, Cassie's going to pick a number between
one and five. I've got it behind my back.
Okay.
All right.
See, I can
Go
see
ahead, Tim. What's your number? Okay.
Three.
Colton?
I'm going to pick four.
Okay, the number is one, so Tim gets to go first.
Come on!
Yes!
All right, Tim.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
Wait, so I get
to
go first.
This is off to a good start. I think this is how it's going to roll, Colton. All right,
Tim, you're up
so
first.
I go first. Did I even want to win that? I think I wanted to go second.
Well, winner goes first.
He totally tricked me. All right, so I'm gonna start out strong, and this is kind of like a little bit thinking about your podcast from last week or 2 weeks ago or whenever it was.
Disneyland.
One of mine is Captain EO.
Who's Captain EO?
So, yeah.
Go on.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to educate you so much. So, wait. So are we doing this like where I say the person, you say your person, and then I explain why?
Should we do that?
Let's do that. Go ahead, Colton. Who's
your person?
All right,
well, against Captain EO, I'm going to put Fa Mulan.
Ooh, Mulan.
Mulan.
Ooh.
From the movie Mulan.
All right, Tim.
That's pretty good. That's pretty awesome. Okay, so do you really not know who Captain EO is?
Educate.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so Captain EO is a character from a Disneyland 3D. You've totally seen this a million times, Colton. I'm so disappointed in you.
Oh, is it Michael Jackson?
Okay. Essentially.
I've only seen
this was actually produced by George Lucas. And if you went in by where Space Mountain is, there's the Captain EO Theater, which I think it's still called that at Disneyland, by the way.
I think it is.
And Captain EO was fan-freaking-tastic.
Was it the bad guy?
Like, was he? No, he wasn't a bad guy. He was Michael Jackson. He had a team.
Yeah, why?
And they were
that?
On like a little ship, and there was like this like really evil queen lady with long fingernails, and she was trying to take over the universe. But Captain EO was like, dude, I'm not going to let that happen. And then he came, and what I loved about it is, like, this wasn't, like, your regular, like, Star Wars-type fighting. Michael Jackson just, like, sang at her.
Uh-huh.
And he had, like, this glowing, like, rainbow T-shirt. And it was so great because, like, these big guys were, like, coming at him, and he was like, ooh! You know, and they, like, would
and then boom.
You know, so they're about to hit him, but then they started to kind of, like, you know, move and groove, like with the dancing kind of stuff.
We've all been there with Michael Jackson.
All the bad guys were like dancing with him, and their armor's like all blowing off, and they've got like these white suits underneath. And it's like the King of Pop was so magnetic and amazing that all his enemies became his best friends.
Oh, wow.
And really, yeah, that's what being a hero is all about, Colton.
That's a tough one to beat.
That is. All right, Colton.
Well, Mulan, be a man. She was swift as a coursing river, as great as a great typhoon, as strong as a great typhoon. I didn't even know the lyrics, sorry. But the reason I picked Mulan is because she was the first woman who I respected. I'm kidding. No, she basically that movie was just really awesome. I wouldn't say that. I was just kidding. Sorry. But Mulan was such a confident warrior and such a competent fighter and went out to go save her dad and then ended up saving China. You know, what's the ending thing that Eddie Murphy says? Oh, my little baby's all grown up and saving China. You know, I felt inspired. I felt, you know, among the people, the Chinese people, that, you know, she was a true champion. And I feel like Mulan would do well in a fight because she never backs down. She is a little rebellious at times, but she's also very cunning. I don't know, lack of a better word, but she's the one who figured out, hey, if I shoot this fire thing at the mountain, then there's going to be an avalanche and I can take out thousands of this army, you know. So she's smart. She's quick on her toes. So I don't know. I think she has a good
amazing,
shot against Captain EO, but Captain EO is a pretty tough one.
I would say as far as creativity goes, Captain EO definitely wins. I think in an actual fight, I would say, you know what? I feel like creativity wins it on this one. Captain EO's our first winner.
I mean, he would just make her dance. If anything, Mulan would just show him up
they
on a dance contest.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, Donny Osmond kind of pulled that move on her already in the movie Mulan. You know, she was. I mean, she was kind of having difficulty at first, but Donny started singing, and then she
and
started.
She's
you
like,
know,
"Hey, I can do this."
Yeah. She
so
needed
I think,
music.
I think that kind of exposes her weakness.
Yeah. That's true.
Dance
Plus,
fighting.
She doesn't want to kick
Mulan
the other kid's
can't.
Butt. But I don't want to kick the other kid's butt. That she said that.
Yeah.
So.
She
all right.
Heroic,
all right.
Though. I mean, that I was sweating honestly because that was a great pick, Colton.
Well, I mean, the music. I think you just had it with the music, so that's tough to beat. I respect that. All right. So we are gonna do round two, and I'll start this one. I'm going to say, and hopefully you've seen this movie, Tim, but Scott Pilgrim.
Oh. Ooh, I have seen that.
Oh, good. So that's I picked Scott Pilgrim because he is just awesome. For those who haven't seen Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Wait, I got to say who I picked first, right?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, go on, Tim.
No, I mean, I know. Yeah, he is pretty cool. And yeah.
But you got to say your person.
My pick is Davy Jones.
Davy Jones?
Oh, good. This is going to be easy.
All right, Tell us
so,
how easy.
So, Scott Pilgrim versus the World is the movie in which Scott Pilgrim is featured. And he is a 20-something-year-old boy who's in a band. And he starts dating this girl who has seven evil exes. And little to find out, you know, I mean, to Scott, it's like his dream girl, so he's really excited to date this girl. But then he has to defeat these seven evil exes, and they are very strong, you know. There's the one guy who can multiply into multiple people. There's the other guy who's a like a skateboarder and a stuntman. And then there are tons of others who are super powerful. And it's just an homage to, like, classic video games, and all these guys are personizations, I guess, of video game characters. And Scott defeats them all because he learns the power of self-respect at the end and becomes an honest man and a good boyfriend, a noble fighter, and he's able to defeat those evil exes and able to win the girl. So that's why I picked Scott, because he's very resilient and self-respective.
All right, Tim, tell us why Davy Jones.
So your character's strength is self-respect?
Self-respect. It's a giant purple sword at the end. I think that's a good strength.
Well, yeah, it's decent. That's important. I mean, I think friendship is actually the strongest of all attributes, but self-respect is up there.
He has that too. He has good friends. Young Neil.
That's right. Well, that's what I learned. That's what My Little Pony says anyway, so I'm not sure if that's accurate.
I'm glad you didn't pick that one. So explain why you think Davy Jones, the lamest of all pirate characters, can beat him.
So our sweet little baby boy had some issues during the first recording of this, so we're going to have Tim do it again. Thanks for listening, gang.
Tim, I actually would like you to... I only heard half of it before James started screaming, so you get to explain. You get a second go-around at explaining.
Oh, come on.
I didn't hear the first
good,
one.
Good, because I really screwed it up the last time.
Well, he's a fish. That's why he'd win. I mean, that was pretty compelling to me.
Well, he's a right, fish, Tim. And no,
fishes you know, have eight so lives.
Davy Jones is... I don't know. I needed to pick a pirate because pirates are important to me. Pirates of the Caribbean is my favorite ride at Disneyland, which
Call
is also
to
important
episode.
To me. And I was kind of thinking about your last podcast, but I just think he's an awesome character. Now, admittedly, Colton made a good point when we were kind of talking about this. The movies that Davy Jones is in are probably some of the worst movies in the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise, but I just think the character's really awesome. He's got a big crab hand and a crab leg.
Lobster.
And he's got an octopus face. And I think one of the amazing things about him is how, you know, he kind of makes up for some of his
crabbiness?
His difficulties in life. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, having a crab hand, you think, well, this guy, you know, he's not going
to be able
to
play piano.
Yeah, he'll never be good at it, right? But no, Davy Jones is not only good at it, he's great at it. I mean, this guy could play an organ stop. He's, you know, playing the organ with his hands, and then all of a sudden his face is going onto the organ and it sounds melodic. I mean, you think of like all the, you know, people talking about whales and their singing and stuff like that. Who do you think got him started? You know, it's Davy Jones, and it's no wonder in his second life that he comes back and joins the monkeys and, you know, makes us all dance. So,
I mean, he does have a lot of soul for a guy who doesn't have a heart. That's true.
Yeah, well, and that's another thing. I mean, Davy Jones is pretty much invincible unless you have his heart, you know, and that's a good thing. They did find his. I mean,
Scott Pilgrim dies and then comes back to life.
Okay, so yeah. Here's my follow-up question. Yeah. Why do you think Davy Jones would beat Scott Pilgrim specifically? And then you get to answer the same question flip-flopped.
Why do I think he would beat him?
Yes.
That's a really good question. I think, you know, there's the obvious answer, which he's, like, way stronger than him, and he has, fish powers. He's got a sword, and he's got a big ship that, like, pops out of the ocean and, you know, makes sharks do things. Actually, I think that's the other movie. Maybe he can't make sharks do things. But you know, he's super powerful. I think his octopus face gives him an advantage too. Like if there's any like real close, you know, like staring each other in the eyes, I feel like he could like grab him with his octopus face, like he did to that one guy when he like popped his brain or something. I think that would be fun.
All right.
That's my only reason.
Colton, why would Scott Pilgrim defeat Davy Jones?
So Scott Pilgrim is a very ironic character. You may think, hey, he's just a skinny guy. He's from Canada. Nothing threatening here. And what, he likes video games? He plays bass guitar? But then you see this boy, and you see how, I don't know, how strong he is. He'd kill Davy Jones. I mean, in the movie, he makes a giant, like, monkey come out of his base and then destroy these twins who are playing DJ. I mean, you can't make this stuff up, people. He just is so strong. I don't know. I can't explain.
That's actually a pretty good point, though. I mean, the whole, like, monkey thing, I think that is Davy Jones' one weakness.
Yeah, I don't think he can really fight against the virtual. Monkeys. Yeah. So, I mean, if you like video games and know the powers that are with video games, I think Scott Pilgrim could take him.
This is tough, you guys.
Cassie, we never said it would be easy.
I know.
We only said you had to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's right.
Okay,
I didn't
want to
follow that quote through all the way.
Davy Jones. This is tough. Okay. Davy Jones has the sheer strength. He's definitely.
I'm actually shocked she's putting this much thought into it.
I'm really struggling, okay? It's because to be honest, neither of you did a great job at really explaining how they would fight.
Tim had two chances.
They're really good.
I'm just
person.
Kidding. It's hard.
And we're taking a person who fights using video game powers against a person who is a octopus face. So
very relatable.
All right. I think so. Here's what I think would actually happen. I think Scott Pilgrim would somehow capture Davy Jones's heart in some kind of an epic video game saga. Anyway,
I would play that video game.
I think Scott would win.
Yes.
Every day.
This yes.
It's tough, you guys.
That's why I'm
once again,
you know,
good triumphs over darkness. It's a good call, Cassie.
See,
it's
true. That was the thing.
Except Mulan is not a dark person.
Yeah, poor Mulan. Got.
She's, once again.
Well, maybe she is the cause of it all. I mean,
I don't know. I think Captain EO is the greater good, though, you guys. I mean.
Well, yeah, he makes everyone want to be the friend in the end. No.
I mean, he doesn't kill anybody, though.
All right.
Anyway,
I think he kills him with kindness.
I hope my arguments get better. Music. I really should have done more preparation. Mulan is
no,
cool.
This is good. I think Cassie's offering constructive feedback, which is good. It's just only going to make us better as we move through
this
process.
Yeah, absolutely.
You
got to
think
absolutely
about how they fight, like
fighting style, strengths, weaknesses.
Why do you have them on your team?
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Round three, Tim.
Round three. Well, hold on. Are we going every other starting?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right. Tim.
I don't know. That makes sense to me.
I'm not going to play rock, paper, scissors again.
No, Tim.
Right. We could. We could do that. Yeah, that was good.
No.
Here we go.
Another 10 minutes.
Oh, there we go.
I swear, I wasn't cheating. I don't think. All right. So my next one, I'm gonna stick with the bad guys on this one. This was. I had to pick somebody from Star Wars, and so my pick from Star Wars is Darth Vader.
Oh, dang it.
All right, Colton.
That's a hard one.
All right, who can I have that might be able to beat Darth Vader, or who would be a fun fight against? I'm going to go Xena, Warrior Princess.
Oh. Aye, 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 aye. That was a good. It even echoed.
Echoed. Yeah.
All right, Tim, Darth Vader.
That's tough. Wow. You know what? I actually have Xena on my list too, so this is rough. I think we kind of had to both pick Xena just because, you know, of our Grecian heritage. But man, putting her against Darth Vader, that would be a pretty intense fight. I think his main advantage that he would have over Xena is having a lightsaber, because I think, and the Force. Yeah, that's also, those are both good things. That Xena would have a rough time with, you know, because I think like she would go to like give her little scream and he'd just choke it off, you know. And I think without her call, I mean, what is
do
she?
Do not choke on your aspirations.
Yeah, do not choke on your aspirations.
Okay, go on. Sorry.
Now, and I just think like, you know, when especially like with a lightsaber going up for a sword fight, you know, you can't bring a sword to a lightsaber battle unless it's one of those cool, like, lightning sword things that those red people had in The Last Jedi.
Oh, those were cool. But they all got beat, so that still adds to the point.
Yeah. I mean, Darth Vader, to me, is just, like, out of all the Jedi, he's the coolest one. And especially, like, if you look at that scene from Rogue One, which I think is, like, the scene where Darth Vader actually does what we all imagined he could do.
That scene, and Cassie can attest to this, that was one of the few times in the movies where I do this all the time, yeah. But I made like an audible squeal, like of joy.
I peed a little.
I think Colton peed his pants.
It was great. Never been happier.
It was amazing. Yeah.
Any final thoughts on that guy?
Any final thoughts?
On Darth Vader, yeah.
I mean, he's the chosen one. I mean, nothing, you know, and that's always a good thing. Sorry, I dropped something. And I, you know, he's good at having a deep voice.
He's pretty good at that.
All right, Colton.
Now this is pod racing. All right. So where Xena stands a chance against Darth Vader is that cold metal heart of his, I think would be his undoing. Now, think about it. Anakin fell for Padme, who was just a boring politician. I mean, did he ever even meet a beautiful warrior like Xena? You think Darth Vader's just going to walk up to someone like Xena, someone as powerful and as inspiring as Xena, and choke her? I mean, the guy couldn't do that to the Emperor, and the Emperor is old and goofy looking. I mean, Xena has it all. She has the vocal presence of 1,000 dogs and the brute strength of 1,000, I don't know, bears,
dolphins.
Also 1,000 dogs. They're just like, yeah.
They're strong. Yeah. But I mean, Xena, the warrior princess, beat Hercules in a fight. And Hercules is half god and is supposed to be the strongest man on the planet. And Xena beat him up. So I think that Xena, just by sheer Xena-ness, would stand a chance against Darth Vader, because I think she would win him over. He'd fall in love with her, or he would just, you know, be classic Anakin and join her side, because that's what he does when he gets beat up. He's like, okay, fine, I'll join you.
Which would have been a lot better.
Cut off my arm.
All right,
I'm back.
If you think about it,
I'm back with him.
Say that again, Tim.
I think if he would have joined Xena, it would have been a much better sidekick than Gabriella was.
That show would still be on if it was Xena and Darth. Oh,
definitely.
Man.
Although I did hear they are relaunching it.
You see?
Yeah.
Longevity. That's another thing. Another point for Xena. We'll see. I don't know if Cassie's ever seen Xena Warrior Princess.
I haven't. I'm sorry. Dang it. And that's probably the undoing at this one. No, Darth Vader would not bat an eye and destroy her.
My argument.
So sorry. Like, the love thing didn't really work. Remember, Darth Vader is not the same after. He was no... What did
He's more machine now.
Yeah, no.
The man.
What does he say to Padme? He's no longer your husband, or I don't know. Anyway.
So dark.
I just know he was tearing her apart. Yeah.
I thought I had a shot.
And Tim had it with the, you don't bring a sword to
How about
a
Xena would beat Anakin, but Darth probably would beat Xena.
All right, I'll give you that. Yeah.
So I win because he ended up being Anakin at the end.
No. Yeah.
Just I think the force choke really helps, you know, because that if you can cut off her cry.
The fact that he can control matter, I think, helps.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right.
All right, I start this next one. I'm going to go with Legolas from The Lord of the Rings.
Oh.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. He was pretty impressive in that movie. Oh, all right, yeah. I'm going to go with Ignacio from Nacho Libre.
Oh.
You did not just use Nacho. I was waiting to use him later. Dang it.
I knew there was
going to
be some
lineup. Well, this is going to be so hard to actually have an argument against him. Oh, man.
After all the research he's done.
All right.
It can only be a benefit.
So, do I start?
Studying the other team's strategy. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, beside the basic that Legolas could just shoot an arrow at a chubby Hispanic guy, Legolas has proven time and time again that he is like the strongest one in the Fellowship of the Rings, or the Fellowship of the Ring. So he takes out like 100 or 1,000 guys in the first movie. In the third movie, he takes out a gigantic elephant that is 5 stories, 6 stories tall.
Yeah, but that only counted as one.
He also yeah, that's true. He also is the reason they took out the troll. And, you know, Aragorn's like the king, and he's supposed to be this really strong ruler amongst men. But he like, almost gotten killed by a troll. Legolas never had any issues with trolls, so it doesn't matter how big anyone was. So I know Nacho would come at him pretty much like a troll would and, you know, try to wrestle him to the ground and maybe a nice punch to the face or a pile drive to the face. But Legolas is too fast. And would jump on him and put an arrow through his head.
Right through his skull.
Poor Nacho.
All right. Tim, you got a lot of work to do.
Well, yeah. No, it's difficult. But, you got to remember that Nacho also did have bow hunting skills. I mean, there was that when he
that was
shot
Nacho
a
Libre.
Skeleton in the back. You know, it was a blunted arrow, but I think that was still...
Oh, that's
you know, so
true.
I think they're pretty much evenly matched in that arena. Nacho, one of the things I love about that movie, especially like when you watch it, is like Nacho like tries, like he has so many desires to be a great fighter, but he loses every single fight that he fights. Even like when he's fighting like old men and like all that kind of stuff, he can't win. You know, he gets the eagle powers, he gets all that kind of stuff, but he does not, you know, I think this is one of his true strengths, is the guy doesn't give up at all. Uh-huh. You know, I mean, he can lose to an old man. He can lose to a couple of guys on the street. He doesn't care because he knows, you know, he's fighting for a bigger purpose. And he goes up, you know, you got to think about who he's fighting against. He's fighting against Ramses, who he's the number one. His eyes are the number one. His muscles are the number one. Like, everything is the number one. And he wins. And why does he win? Because this is a guy who has lost repeatedly over and over and over and over again. But he wins because he has one of the strongest powers that there is. And that is the power of huérfanos, which are orphans.
And love.
I mean, is there a mightier force for good than loving orphans? I can't think of one.
Good point.
Oh, you guys.
Especially Chancho. That kid was adorable.
He was really cute.
Chancho is
the
power of Chancho is a real thing.
I mean, I picked Nacho myself, but that, if I'm being realistic. It would be really depressing to watch the fight.
Oh! I mean,
I don't know. I mean, like his moves when he was fighting like that last fight against Ramses. I mean, they were pretty awesome. Like that.
I mean, he's really good. Yeah. He like he literally made a flew. Significant improvement.
I love that shot when it pans of him just flying through the air. 20
I would love to see him take like Legolas's like elf underwear and put it over his head, you know, and then
it's elf underwear.
Poor Legolas.
All right. You know what? I'll give it to you this time, Tim.
What?
Yep, I'm saying Nacho.
He lost every fight, and he got lucky against Ramses.
No, he's the number one. Training.
That wasn't luck.
Training.
I know. I'm just. I have him on my list. I feel like I'd say he's a good one too.
Let's say yeah. So Legolas in a hand-to-hand combat against Nacho might actually be somewhat of a battle.
But Legolas was still strong. I'm trying to think of examples in the movie, but he uses that arrow a lot. The bow and arrow a lot.
Yeah, he's good with that. Strong.
All right.
Darn it, Cassie. Cassie just saw Lord of the Rings like a year ago, so she hasn't had enough time to really simmer with the.
yeah, Nacho Libre has really been able to sink in.
Oh, that one, she sees that once a week, so I think it's a little more fresh in her mind.
On Tuesdays. Taco Tuesday with Nacho.
It's definitely, it's in my top five for greatest movies of all time. So.
It really is.
It's up there for me. That's a good one.
Sorry, Nacho won at that time.
All right, Tim, I think you start round five.
Oh, man. It's hard when I have to start. Okay. So, this is number five? Are we on number five?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. So, my number five is Tommy. The white slash green Power Ranger.
Good. Do I have Cassie to pick, didn't watch Power Rangers.
Though. Do I have to pick a time frame for when, you know, do I have to decide between green and white? Or just kind of...
Oh, no, you can do it in general. Yeah. All right, Colton.
All right, I will pick SpongeBob SquarePants to go against Tommy.
That's a good pick. All right, so to explain, it was hard because I was thinking like, you know, just through all the different like heroes that are out there and different genres and things, and I thought Marvel comic books, I thought, you know, all these really great guys and stuff, but Power Rangers are pretty stinking powerful. And I think, you know, there's more to them than just, you know, amazing ninja skills, which Tommy, you know, definitely had those with his karateing and all that kind of stuff. And I mean, even the Red Power Ranger admitted that Tommy was better with a sword than he was, which is pretty amazing. But then, you know, like he's got the power, like, so he's got these super suits that, you know, can protect him against, you know, getting fighted and all fighted, not fighted.
Fought-ed.
I mean, yeah.
He can also, you know, like summon like a ginormous zord and like flatten, you know, whole building blocks in, you know, seconds.
Real buildings.
Which I think is impressive, you know, and SpongeBob is a little, he's got a little bit of a smaller stature. And so I think, you know, he would have the advantage there. But one of the things I truly love about Power Rangers is they're heroes that are amazingly powerful, and yet they've got a lot of heart at the same time. And I think Tommy really demonstrates this by his love that he had for Kimberly, the Pink Power Ranger, which is amazing. And I always loved how that show was kind of a combination between, like, Saved by the Bell and Godzilla, which is an amazing combination if you think about it.
That is really a good combination. That's why I watched the show.
It's a good way of explaining it.
Yeah.
Good comparison.
All right. Well, while you may have an advantage with a human... my hero, SpongeBob, has demonstrated the warrior mentality throughout his entire show. Admittedly, he's gotten a little bit sillier over the years, but I mean, he looks just as good today as he did back in the 1990s. There is an episode of SpongeBob where Flats is a bully, is a giant fish that comes into his school and is like, "Hey, SpongeBob, I'm going to kick your butt." And there's a lot of suspense around this because this guy is significantly larger than SpongeBob. At the end of the episode, Flats is at his house and throws this huge haymaker, just this real big punch at him. And SpongeBob takes it no problem. And then he's like, "Wait, did you hear what I said? I said I'm ready." And he keeps punching SpongeBob.
and he has no pain at all. He just takes it, no problem. That's the first thing. So he's indestructible. He's SpongeBob, you know. He's been ripped in half in the show. He has been, I mean, flown to the moon by Sandy, like from her punching him. And also, he sometimes, he's what's the word? Amphipomorphic, or what's that word?
I have no idea.
What's the word that you could, like, shapeshift?
Amorphic? Let's go with amphipomorphic.
Yeah, let's go with that one. So, not only can he, you know, he can multiply and become millions of SpongeBobs, but he can also turn into super muscular SpongeBob like he did in the Olympic episode where he fought Patrick. And you know, you saw how destructive he can be there. I mean, he erased Patrick's name, so it just said Rick on it. He humiliated him in front of hundreds of thousands of fish. And I think if you were to fight Tommy, because of all of the amazing characteristics of SpongeBob, I think he'd be able to find a way to beat that Power Ranger. Amen.
That's amazing.
All right. I think Colton. I think Colton won that
yes!
one.
Yes.
Yep. Oh. SpongeBob is a sponge.
That was my wild card.
You know, one of my things too is that, like, thinking about that. I was like, you know, maybe we matched up the wrong. I would have loved to see that fight between him and Nacho, because I think SpongeBob and Nacho both have that unbeatable spirit, which, you know, just
that's
makes
true.
Them.
And that's the thing, and I actually didn't end that, but that was supposed to be my ending. My closing thoughts is that he's ready, he's ready.
Yeah. He is ready.
Always ready for a fight.
So. Yeah. Well, what you said about Patrick, though, I mean, his ability to not only, like, physically, you know, like, manhandle an opponent,
but
to
also pinpoint
to humiliate
their weakness.
And just,
yep.
Yeah.
And
I think
exploit
that's where
he would
start
weakness.
To win. Tommy would lose confidence in himself, you know? And
he'd be turned into
my name's not Tom!
Tom.
Humiliated.
Oh, it would be awful.
You took the words right out of
it would
my mouth.
It would be awful.
All right.
So, no, that was a good call. See, I'm glad we have Cassie here. She's able to make these tough calls. This is amazing.
These are tough. All right, round six. These are the last two rounds. I think you're beating me pretty significantly.
The score is 3-2.
Okay, I still have a shot.
You do.
Still have a shot here. And
you're in there. I don't know, though. I've got two of my best coming up here.
Arsenal.
So.
All right. Well, my sixth one, and this one's from a movie we already discussed. It's Luke Skywalker.
You really should have put him up against Darth Vader.
I probably should have. Hindsight.
Yeah, but that's the fun.
So,
that's the fun
actually,
of Battle Royale.
Admittedly,
you can't have from the same universe.
Admittedly, I had to switch him out because I didn't actually have Luke in my original lineup. But then you said Ignacio, and I was like, "Dang it! I can't say Nacho Libre again."
Yeah, that would be embarrassing.
That's why. But
yeah, I had to get rid of Xena for the same reason. So I hear you.
What are the odds?
You guys are thinking on your feet.
I know. Okay, so mine for this, my pick for this one is actually a little bit unconventional, but I really think once I explain it, you're totally gonna be on my side. It's Mary Poppins.
All right. Colton gets
and
to start
I am
off.
Definitely talking about the. Oh, is that really your seventh?
No. Heavens, no.
Well, this is the Julie
we're
Andrews
trying to
version
find
too. I'm not
who's
really
the
sure.
strongest
not
person. We're not trying to find who would
doing.
Raise our children well.
All right, so go give me your explanation.
Luke's not great
why,
with
why
kids.
Do you think, why do you think Luke Skywalker could beat Mary
now,
Poppins?
I will yield to this. I think Mary Poppins, yeah, would do a better job at watching your kids. I mean, we saw what Luke tried to do with his nephew.
Yeah. Come on, Luke.
So
there we go, right there.
Right there. I mean, parental values. Mary Poppins won.
Ben Solo would have been on the right track. He'd be like, yeah.
He would have. Yeah, he would have taken his medicine. He would have been just one of the better citizens ever. Can you imagine this? The universe. How well everything would be going. Yeah. Let's go fly a kite, shall we? Oh, man. Anyway.
Him and Ray could have gotten married. It would have been, man, episode two would have been way different.
See?
It would have been way different. Probably, that would have been good. All right, so the reasons why I would have Luke Skywalker, we've talked about resilience and things like that, but I mean, Luke is the embodiment of that resilience, even though he did fall away in episode 8. He did come back ever so stronger. And just talking about, like, powers-wise, first off, he has the Force, like we discussed with Darth Vader. He has that ability to project himself galaxies and light years away from where he's at. So he and Mary Poppins could be fighting in the same room, and she would have no idea for a long time, and she'd get so tired. My, I'm getting very tired here.
He wouldn't even be there.
And then he wouldn't even be there. Yeah, and he'd be... Gosh. I think that's a very giant superpower. We've never seen that in Star Wars before. He's the only one that we know of that can do that. And yeah, I mean, he's got old green and old blue. He can use one of the lightsabers to fight her. I think he would take her.
Old green and old blue. That's true. I mean, he does have that lightsaber thing, which I think is a significant, you know, a significant thing. But
don't bring an umbrella to a lightsaber fight.
Now here's the thing. Like, my thing with Mary Poppins, and you know, she, when she describes herself, she says she is practically perfect. In not just some ways, but in every way.
In the one way she's not perfect, fighting. You never see her fight anybody.
She didn't say, I'm practically perfect in every way except for fighting. She said every single way. And I think you got to take Mary Poppins at her word, because, I mean, she's never lied to you before. I don't know why you wouldn't trust her. But, I mean, she's definitely got lots of, like, physical, like, fighting-type skills. If you think about it, like, when they're dancing on the rooftop, for example, and, like, everybody's trying to, you know, goad her on to do a dance, she does about a bajillion spins in the air. And she's smiling the whole time. She's not tired.
I don't see how spinning would be a good move in a fight.
I don't think Luke would know what to do. I mean, you know, like, he goes to get her, you know, with his lightsaber, and she jumps into a chalk drawing. You know, like, okay, what do I do now? You know, she's in there. She
Another
won a
world.
Horse race when she was in there against seasoned professionals, jockeys who have spent their whole life racing horses and just, you know, going for the gold. She
two-dimensional character. She has a huge advantage.
Yeah. Plus, and then,
I mean,
she can
yeah,
fly,
they've been doing that,
which is something
life.
That, you know, I don't think that he could do. You know, like, Uncle Albert's up on the ceiling. Everyone has to laugh to get up there. Mary doesn't. She just goes up all by herself. Yeah. And she's, you know, she can calm people down by telling them they have to go home, which is amazing. I just think
Mary Poppins,
everything she does happens the way that she wants it to happen. You know, like, those kids, like, try to, you know, I mean, these are like the worst kids. They have scared off nanny after nanny after nanny, and they don't even phase her. You know, she's just, she knows what to say. She knows what to ask them to do. She, like, you talk about the Force, you know, Luke, when he moves rocks and stuff like that, you can tell that he's, like, actually really trying to make it work. Mary Poppins, no effort whatsoever, and all the objects in the room are dancing around, you know? The blocks come into Jane's
hand.
And it's
those objects,
Mary
though.
Poppins.
You're making it seem like she's the one controlling these objects, but they were pretty disobedient if she's controlling it. So you're saying she's like a conflicted person. Will you quite finish? So was it her who was making them, or was she just inspiring them to dance? She can't even control her own power. That doesn't sound like someone who would be able to beat Luke Skywalker, a Jedi Knight.
Definitely.
That room was bananas. She made it worse for a little bit.
Her power's almost,
and she almost killed Michael. Michael almost got locked in that closet. He would have died if they wouldn't have stopped. And it was her fault.
You can't bring up the killing children thing because we already discussed
it. Yeah, but Luke didn't do it. I mean, yeah, but that poor boy, traumatized.
Locked in the closet. I mean,
that was
how would you
react? I think, you know, that actually helped build Michael to be a stronger person. That was definitely kind of the beginning. He was a little bit more unsure of himself. And, I mean, once he came out of the closet, he was a totally different guy.
You could see the gears moving in his head.
That's
as he
was
like, hold
point.
On. Let me just...
How could I use closet in my
All right.
That's a tough one.
No, sorry, it's Luke.
Oh, yeah! I thought I was going to lose that one.
You did a great job,
I would have said Mary
Poppins. You really explained, but in reality, Luke truly would win. Yeah. He would.
Spinning around in circles wouldn't do it.
Mary means well.
Where are you? I don't know, though. She might be the most powerful person we've mentioned.
You think so?
I think she's very, very, very powerful. I mean, Yondu was certainly proud to take her name, so
Yondu? Never mind.
That's true. I'm Mary Poppins, y'all.
Oh.
That's true. All right, last round, and we're tied. Wow, I got lucky.
Man, this is
some
fierce.
Might say that one was a little forced. I'm just kidding.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if we picked the exact same person on this one, because the person I have just...
You don't have who I have. I don't know if I have a chance on this one, but are you? You go first then, right? You go first.
Yeah. So mine is Pippi Longstocking, and not just any Pippi Longstocking. I'm talking the Swedish dubbed version of Pippi Longstocking.
Oh wow!
All right, Tim. I had one, but I'm going to switch now. I'm calling an audible, and I am going to pick everybody's favorite plumber, Mario.
That was
I thought you were going to have Mario on your list. I had Donkey Kong to fight Mario, but you didn't have Mario, so I'm going to take Mario.
Mario, why would I pick Mario? It's a plumber.
Tell us about Pippi. This is good. Pippi, I feel like this is, I feel like this is a good fair
first
fight.
Of all, Cassie, have you seen the old Pippi Longstocking movies? I know Colton has more than you would have liked to.
Yes, advantage Colton.
So you got to really explain. But I also didn't really play Mario growing up, so.
Pippi Longstocking is the ultimate of ultimates. She is the embodiment of youth and power and strength. She goes up against pirates and destroys them. And I'm not talking about like, she goes to a whole pirate island where there are literally thousands. Jacques the Knife and Sven, I mean, they go up against her and they don't even stand a chance. And she smiles the whole time when she takes them down. She can lift a horse, seven mates, and Tommy and Annika sitting on the horse and not even break a sweat.
Yeah.
She throws policemen up onto roofs. She throws a kid up into a tree.
She just like lifted him up.
It's amazing. I mean, it's so amazing. It actually looks like somebody falling in reverse when she throws people up these trees. I mean,
it kind of does.
It's weird. But
I think it's because she's tearing the fabrics of space when it happens, because matter isn't supposed to move
that
fast.
Good,
I mean, she can do everything. She can fly. She can spin around so fast that she can make an airplane go. Man, there is such a long list of accomplishments. She ate these Cromulus pills in one of the movies that makes it so she's immortal. She can't ever get any older. She's got a monkey and a horse that live in her house, and she can make pancakes.
And she is loaded.
Yeah, she is. Oh, that's another thing, you know, like when the Justice League thing, you know, when Flash asks Bruce Wayne what his power is, and he says he's rich. Not Mary Poppins. Oof. Pippi Longstocking has all the strength, all the power, and she's rich. And she's got some of the most beautiful hair that you could ever wish on anyone.
Straight out.
Straight to the sides.
Imagine that. Like, you know, you go up to punch her in the face, and she just swings her head, and you're down on your back. Brain to the eyeball.
Clotheslined. All right, Tim, that was an impressive speech there.
Yeah,
Colton.
Oh, man. Got these ones dialed in. Oh, man.
You gotta
so I picked Mario just in hopes that you would be like, oh, I love Mario.
I do love Mario.
So Mario jumps on things. he can swing things around. He's very strong. Let's see. He has Yoshi as a good companion that can help him.
Sidekick.
You know, swallow Pippi. He has multiple hats, so he's a man of many talents.
Pippi would rip Yoshi apart from the inside.
I know he would. She really would. This is a hard one to say I'd beat. I mean, hopefully Mario.
I'm trying here. It's just really your passion, Mario. I too
am a man who grew up watching Pippi, and I admittedly I know just how powerful she is, but Mario
lives in the sewers.
Mario can get bigger when he eats mushrooms, so maybe he has a shot if he gets really big. You know, I can't think of anything. My hope would be that he had multiple lives and you could keep trying to fight Pippi, but I feel like that'd be a very hard video game because I don't think you could beat her.
It would be a slaughter.
I don't know. I can't. I think I have to secede. I think Pippi Longstocking would kick Mario's butt.
Congratulations, Tim.
Oh, man. You guys, you know, I've had a lot of wonderful things happen to me in my life. You know, I have five beautiful kids. I have a wife who I love.
Hold on. Let me stop you while you're ahead.
This moment right now.
That's all you got to say.
it's up there.
Yeah.
That was a great list. I mean, you threw some curveballs.
Yeah, just a quick...
Yeah, good little summary. You did that. That'd be good.
We had Captain EO up against Fa Mulan, and if it weren't for Captain EO's musical abilities,
I still
Mulan
feel like Mulan could
stole
beat
it
him.
Away.
Captain oh man, you EO need to watch Captain EO again. That guy is amazing.
You need to watch Mulan. Yeah, you're right. That is good.
Yeah, we had Davy Jones against Scott Pilgrim, and Scott Pilgrim stole Davy Jones's heart and
ate it.
Left him. What is it? I can't think of the word to say that. He won.
Left him heartless.
Yep. Yeah. We had Darth Vader against Xena, and Darth Vader destroyed her with his lightsaber in a matter of seconds without blinking an eye.
She's beautiful. It wouldn't have happened.
We had Nacho against Legolas, and
again,
Nacho
I mean,
was incredibly resilient. He was incredibly resilient.
Just picture the scene, though.
The arrows,
it would be so
the
sad.
The arrows didn't even
it would
make
right
it into a chubby. He had such an outer layering.
Poor Nacho. Tag me! Tag me! Oh! I don't want to get paid to lose. Poor guy, Aaron.
I was winning.
And then we had Tommy, the Green Power Ranger slash White. Is that right? Slash White.
Yeah, he's White Ranger.
Against
after.
SpongeBob the SquarePants and
the Square
SpongeBob SquarePants.
SpongeBob the SquarePants.
Not SpongeBob SquarePants. SpongeBob the SquarePants. And SpongeBob is a sponge. So he can't die. So he won.
That one makes a lot of sense, actually.
Yeah. Mary Poppins against Luke Skywalker. And
I thought you had me. Luckily, we didn't see Mary ever actually kill anybody.
Yeah. So I don't think she would have.
I think her biggest
heart.
Weakness is her heart. Like,
yeah.
I don't think she could beat up Luke.
She
tried to educate
him.
She
doesn't have the heart
to do that. Practically perfect in every manners. Way. She's a perfect nanny and a perfect killer if she wants to be.
No.
It's right there in the definition.
Yeah. It's her in her claws.
Maybe this
and
new
then,
movie though we'll see some combat. I think that
oh, I'm
that
excited
looks like,
for it.
That's what it does look like. Why would they bring her back?
Yeah,
the Hamilton writer guy I think is gonna get it at some point during that. From what I see through the previews and stuff.
The killer could. The killer part of her is gonna come through.
Yeah. Notice Bert's not in that movie. I mean, that should tell you something.
Poor guy.
Touche. Our final fight was Pippi Longstocking against Mario, and Pippi took it away.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have called the audible. I was just hoping Tim would be like, oh, I love
sweat.
Mario. But instead he was like, yeah, I mean, Pippi's.
Yeah.
It was, Pippi's Mario like Chuck was Norris. On my short list. He was. I really do love Mario. He's, you know, he's adorable. But, I mean, when you put him in the ring against
Lethal.
Pippi Longstocking.
Yeah.
I can't argue that. I can't argue it.
Yeah. It was a good fight.
And Mario games are fun, though. I haven't played a Pippi game, so. I don't know if that makes him stronger. Anyway.
No.
All right, Tim. Well,
there would be no point to playing a Pippi game. She would just slaughter everybody in the game.
I know. It's just game
like,
over.
Why
you
am I
won.
Even
good
this?
Job.
It'd be too easy to play.
You won.
That would be cool.
You press the button to play game or player one, and it just says you won.
We did.
Like, woo!
That would be cool.
Have you beat Pippi? Yeah.
Just got it. Just beat it. All right, Tim. Well, thank you so much for being on with us today.
Oh, man.
If you like what you hear, reach out to us at outerexperiencepodcast@gmail.com. Also, subscribe and share with your friends. Because if you're in the experience, guys, you gotta get out of it.
Oh, man.
We got it. Thanks, Tim.
Right on.
We'll see you guys next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.